Good morning. Live from the Ron Scott Communications Center, this is From the Stand. And From the Stand is brought to you by the Commemorative Air Force. The mission of the CAF is education, such that generations of Americans will value and support the contributions of military aviation in assuring our nation's freedom. Please visit the CAF tent on the southeast corner of Boeing Plaza or visit them on the web at commemorativeairforce.org. And if you do have a chance, thank them for helping to make this program possible. Today we're going to talk a bit about the 90th anniversary of Charles Lindbergh's transatlantic solo flight with Eric Lindbergh in just a few moments. And he'll also talk about the X Prize, which is the modern-day equivalent of the Ortega Prize, which his grandfather received back in 1927. We'll also talk about the Tuskegee Airmen with one of the remaining Tuskegee Airmen, one of the originals, Lieutenant Colonel Harry Stewart. And he'll talk about his time with the Red Tails and also some interesting things that happened to him after World War II was over. But right now joining me is the Spirit of St. Louis replica pilot, Rick Siegfried. And I should make that clear, you're not a replica pilot. You're a pilot of the replica airplane. I realize that that sentence structure wasn't quite right. My English teacher is going to come get me for that one. But anyway, good morning, Rick.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Man, is it fabulous to be up here at AirVenture Oshkosh on this beautiful sunny day.
Certainly a change from last night.
Yes, it was. I love this humidity coming down, and so does the Spirit like this humidity coming down.
That's right. That's right. The Spirit of St. Louis, this is actually the second Spirit of St. Louis replica that EIA has built. The first one was built flew in 1977. That was
right.
When most of its flights took place. And that one was built for the 50th anniversary of Lindbergh's flight, and it took it apart and shipped it over to Paris. It touched down at Le Bourget Field and recreated the entire flight, and then took a tour around the United States when it came back. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was very exciting, and that was a big program for EAA. There's no doubt about it. It provided a lot of great will for the organization. It got a lot of visibility. Vern Jopes was one of the primary pilots on it, but other people joined him on the trip. They had a Fairchild. Oh, I should know the model. Anyway, a Fairchild that's in the museum that flew along with the Spirit, which was also the same vintage aircraft. So it was kind of fun to have those two aircraft. And they really flew it a lot. They retraced Lindbergh's tour after he came back from Paris. So they followed that route. And then they made some additional starts. I think they got close to 1,400 hours on that airplane. The second replica, nowhere near quite that much.
That's right. Jim Barton is the gentleman who spent most of the time in the Stinson. Flying that black Stinson
right.
around as a support for the Spirit of St. Louis.
I said a Fairchild, didn't I? Stinson,
yeah,
you're
Stinson.
Right.
All right.
Sorry about that.
Well, I have this device here connected to the Internet, which helps.
That's amazing.
It was, and the display that's in the museum, if you've been to the EIA Aviation Museum any time in the last 15 years, you've seen that recreation with the Legos that show you Paris and everything. And if you haven't seen it, grab the shuttle bus and go up and see it, especially this year with the 90th anniversary of the flight. The Spirit of St. Louis that was the one that you're flying was actually created in about the mid-90s or so.
Exactly right. And I don't have the date for the first
right.
flight. I'm sorry about that. And it's also amazing that the first Spirit was built in 60 days.
Right.
This one was built in 4 years. Okay. This airplane, interestingly enough, they kind of patterned the first airplane. The first replica was largely patterned on the Ryan Brougham, which is an airplane that Ryan built after they built the Spirit of St. Louis, which was actually a single pilot, six passenger aircraft, and they were commercially successful with that. And it was based on the Spirit. This airplane was the first Spirit that was actually plans built from the original plans. So until recently, it was by far the most accurate replica that was out there flying. There were 10 replicas totally built. Three for the movie, pardon me. And unfortunately, overall, two of the Spirit replicas have been wrecked and are no longer with us. The rest of them are mostly in museum. The most accurate one, I'll give credit to the old Rhinebeck Aerodrome.
Yes.
They have now one flying with an original Wright J-5, and it's a little bit more accurate than ours. We made some concessions for safety and how we wanted to operate the airplane, and that's what we have today.
What engine is in the current Spirit?
It's got a Continental W670 cubic inch, 240 horsepower. The Wright was J5 was a much bigger displacement engine, so it had a lot more torque, but it actually had a little bit less horsepower. And, of course, we only fly with 106 gallons, where
right.
the original airplane was at 480. You historians, you're going to correct me on that, and that's okay.
There's a saying that we have up here at the announcer stand is that no matter what we say, if you've read something different,
yes,
your source is correct.
That's correct.
So there we go. So today, your source is correct, 450 gallons. I like it. Rick Siegfried is the pilot of the EIA's Spirit of St. Louis replica. And Rick,
one of the pilots.
One there of the pilots, right. Yeah, one I was going to say, there are several.
Rob Erdos has also got checked out in June with me, and he flew it on, yes.
And Sean Elliott.
And Sean Elliott, of course. He flew it the other day, and yeah, it's all good.
So when the airplane is not here at AirVenture, where is it based?
It lives over at Pioneer. So it's at the Pioneer Airport. You can see it on display. I'm not sure what the plans are after AirVenture this year. I hope they keep flying it for a little bit. We've kind of gone through the they rotate all the airplanes over at Pioneer,
right,
kind of through a schedule so they stay in flying condition. But it's kind of like on a four-year plan. They decide, okay, let's bring this up, get it an annual, do the proper maintenance, fly the airplane for a while, and then put it back in storage for a while so they can it's such a treasure trove of historic artifacts over there. That's another great place to go visit while you're here at AirVenture.
Definitely. As you mentioned, there's a rotating cast of characters at Pioneer Airport, and all of them significant in their own right, including the Spirit. What drove you to say, raise your hand and say, I want to fly the Spirit of St. Louis?
I was a lucky guy.
Okay.
That's what it amounts to. Okay, so basically I was up here for some, I think, Warbirds of America business, visiting Sean Elliott, and he mentioned the Spirit was getting out, and he had was talking about having it fly at AirVenture, and the staff is so busy up here. You guys don't have hardly a time to do anything. So I was fortunate enough. I said, well, Sean, I can find some time. If you need a pilot, I'm more than happy to get checked out in it, and I'd love the honor of flying it. And we did just that. So we came up in June and learned about the airplane, went through a ground school with Sean, and visited the airplane, gave thorough pre-flights, looked at it. And, boy, they did some amazing things when they built this replica to operate in the modern system world. And they, but it flies pretty authentically.
So talk about how it flies.
It's, I've been fortunate. I've flown lots of different kind of airplanes from, the lightest airplanes on up to some fairly big airliners and stuff like that. And, they're all interesting. I mean, this is 1927, so I don't expect it to fly like a modern light aircraft. It is the most dynamically unstable airplane I've ever flown. Most airplanes, you get them all trimmed up and you let go of them in nice smooth air, and they'll kind of track. They may seek their own speed, wander around and pitch a little bit. This airplane, you let go of it, get a little bump, you think you're in trim, the nose starts down, it just keeps on going down and down faster and faster. It's just as happy going straight down as it is straight up until it runs out of airspeed, altitude, and ideas at the same time.
And is it true that Lindbergh actually had that designed into the airplane so that
I've read that.
I've read that as well.
Yeah, and so if you've read it, it must be true.
That's
like
right.
The internet.
But go.
Anyway, but I understand it as a little bit, that he wanted that. And, think about it. 1903 is the first time we flew.
Right.
This was 24 years after the first time we flew.
Yeah.
We're sitting here, public math.
90 years later.
Yes. Well, 90 years later on that, I think,
yes,
even since first flight,
right,
we have a lot more knowledge. We have a lot more experience with high wing loading airplanes, low wing loading airplanes than he had.
Right.
And it was that attention to detail that he did so well that made him successful versus almost everybody else who tried.
And for
it was
those
very
of you,
impressive
yes
for me, and holy, a lot more respect after flying this Spirit
right
than I had before.
Just to kind of put the perspective in it, as EIA had put together the 90th anniversary, the airplane took off, the replica took off at 11 o'clock on Tuesday.
Tuesday. 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock. I lost track of days already. 11 o'clock on Tuesday, and would have touched down last night at approximately 8 o'clock or about 8:30. That was 33 and a half hours. So think of your time here at AirVenture from Tuesday morning to Wednesday night and all the things that happened to you during that time. And Lindbergh was sitting behind that engine droning away across the Atlantic with absolutely no view except out the side windows. That's one of the neat things about the Spirit replicas is that they've been designed so that you have windows you can actually see out as the pilot for safety reasons. But then you've got the covers that pop back on to make it look authentic.
Yes.
When you checked out in the airplane, did you have someone in it with you?
Yeah, we actually always had. It flies a little better that way, and the weight and balance works out better. So and plus, what a unique opportunity to get a chance to ride in the Spirit of St. Louis replica. Right. So we always took somebody with us when we went flying. Most of the time, it was the other pilot, Rob and myself, who we just swapped roles. We'd swap seats, and we'd go back and forth, and we'd communicate a little bit and talk about the challenges of flying it, and until eventually we went for a check ride with Sean Elliott, the director of flight ops up here at EAA, and he said, yeah, you're good to go, guys.
Well, very good. Do you fly it from the front or the back, with pilot in command?
You can fly either, okay? And it's set up that way specifically, okay? In general, because of the environment we were working on, we always flew it from the front.
Okay.
And, again, it's a safety factor, and, you know, I think if we had more time to play with it, I would have liked to have flown it from the back seat a little bit.
Yeah.
And actually, visibility-wise for runway alignment, the back seat really isn't that bad. However, for traffic and today's environment, I mean, there weren't that many airplanes flying around in 1927.
Correct.
He had his challenges, but he didn't have to worry in general about running into another airplane going the opposite direction.
That's true. And just a moment left in this segment. Rick, you want to put in a plug for where we can find the Spirit of St. Louis here at AirVenture?
The Spirit of St. Louis is right next to the Vintage Cafe in the Vintage area. I believe it's going to stay there all week long. And a friend of ours, Charles Lindbergh, is going to be talking about the airplane. He's done a lot of history. Yep. He knows the history of Mr. Lindbergh far better than I do. And he's there and wants to talk to you. I think he's there from 9 o'clock till 2 o'clock just about every day before the air show starts, just south of the Vintage Cafe in the Vintage area, and which is right more or less in the center of the place we love to call Oshkosh AirVenture.
And this is the first living historical character that will be introduced at AirVenture, a new one each year. So stop by and check it out, the Spirit of St. Louis replica, and Charles Lindbergh in the Vintage area throughout the rest of the week. Rick, thanks for joining us this morning.
It's my pleasure. I always enjoy seeing you, Steve, as we as we wander around the country with our fascination with airplanes.
That's right. You are listening to From the Stand on EIA Radio.